It's red because it's on fire for Jesus. Amen. Guys, he was just asking, wanneer kom die baba? I'm like, today. Today, God wants to birth something in the spirit. And who of you want to be part of that? And why I ask for responses, because God is knocking on the door continuously of our hearts. And so ready to fulfill everything that he has planned for you for in advance. Ephesians 2:10 says that he had good works that he's already prepared for you. And now God is the one, you were his plan, he put you together. So you've been put together for everything that God would ever call you to fulfill by faith in Jesus. So God is continuously knocking. The answer, the question is, what is our answer? Like, what will we say? So I'm so excited. Dale is 100% correct. I think last night, quite late before I go to bed, I WhatsApp Ross to go, Ross, I'm so excited for tomorrow. That's all I wanted to say, peep. Because the thing is, when you see the word of God, the presence of the Lord in community with his body, change your life. And change many other people's lives. And you see the world is broken and desperate. Sure, people, it's going to be really hard for me to be more excited about the VIP and the blowbiller than be excited to praise Jesus and be excited to tell people about Jesus. So let's quickly pray. Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are about to do in our hearts. We are here full of faith and expectation, Jesus, and we say, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Your kingdom come, as we just sang, God. Your will be done. Don't you want to quickly, congregation, just put, if you want, just put your hand on your heart so you can pray this over yourself. And just pray with me if you want to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life right now as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Quick question. Are you going to hoy me some time cards or just cough loudly when I must be done? Oh, yes. What does that mean? I have. Ampersex is 10 minutes 24. I'll go on double speed. I can do beep beep. Thanks so much. Guys, how exciting how the words came today. God wants to restore our peace. Bring perspectives for what? So that we can walk in victory in the battles that we face. And I got so excited when I was sitting there and I'm hearing word after word of God calling us in this day to come and submit to him so we can resist the enemy so that he flees from us, not us from the enemy. That the enemy flees from us because God paid the price for victory. But what will we choose? Because we have freedom to choose. Who will we serve? Will we apply the word of God that brings the victory? Will we praise the name of Jesus that brings the victory? That's our choice. That's on us. That's not the enemy's job. He's the one saying, no, no, look at the issue. Don't praise Jesus. It's not the Lord's job. Like, he's the one that gives us the open invitation. He gives us free will. So it's our job to go, what do we choose? Do we want to praise him? Do we want to say, Lord, your will, not mine? So, hallelujah. We're speaking up from Exodus 14, and it says, Exodus, Moses versus me. It's Moses and the rest of his team, but M&M sounded lekker. So we want to make it practical. How do we apply the scripture? So if you want to read with me, we're going to read through the chapter 14 of Exodus. There's a New King James Version on the screen. If you are like me and you struggle to read a different weergawe translation, well, there's something else. Say maybe you can multitask. You're welcome also just to listen. Exodus 14, okay. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. Listen to this. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all of his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and to their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered their chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and to their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The word of God is so powerful. It is living. It is alive. And that's why it's not wrong for us to sum scripture up and then focus on some of the texts. But I deliberately wanted to read this because irrespective of how we feel or what we think, when we commune, when we read, when we hear Jesus, we change. Because 1 John 1 says this is Jesus in book and print form. It's the word. So we honor your word and your presence in this place today, Jesus. Guys, I've got such an excitement in my heart to be with you in this moment. Some of you, I realize I've been walking a road with for like 19 years. And some of us, we only met in recent years. And some of us, it's the first time I meet you today. But I want to tell you this, that Holy Spirit has this divine appointment in this moment for you. And it's got nothing to do with who is speaking. It's got everything to do with who is speaking. It's God, by His Spirit, through His Word, that wants to do something in your heart right now. And there's a spiritual battle happening for you to remember a WhatsApp that you should have replied. Something that you should have gotten done in the week, and you must please not forget because it's really important, and you remember to do it while you were busy with 20 other things. And now suddenly those memories come to mind. So I want to challenge you to engage with your spirit, with the Holy Spirit right now, because He is ready to bring about a shift through His word and His presence right now. I've got a question for you. We read here, verse 15. Moses saw all the plagues. He saw all the miracles. He knows that God is faithful. He knows it very well. He's seen it over and over again. And in that moment, he faced a battle. Anybody here, you've got words that you are trusting for God to come to pass. Anybody here trusting for God's promises for your life? Anybody like that? Perfect. This is where these people are. God says, I'm going to exit you from slavery to a promised land. And then this is what they get. So I want to encourage you, if you're facing a battle, just don't believe the lie, yes, but this, yes, but God, yes, but you. You just go to Jesus, because this is what Moses did. So he turns to the Lord, and then he cries out to him. But guys, it fascinates me, God's response. God is like, why do you cry to me? I mean, did he not just see every time there was a challenge, he would get an instruction from God, he would by faith do it, and then God would fight the battle. So I love the fact that God is like, we're not babies. Yeah, like me and you've been walking a road. You've been seeing it. You're a grown man. Come on, my child, I've got a question. Like, why are you crying to me? And then the next moment, God gives him instruction. And then we see God telling him, so Moses comes to God and he's like, God, you obviously can't see, so I have to tell you, look at this situation with my finances or the relationship or this thing in our nation, or like, you don't know, but I, because you're busy or something, but let me just come and tell you. I'm not saying we mustn't be vulnerable to the Lord. I'm saying with which heart's attitude are we crying out? So we come to God, and then we've got the option, like Moses, to cry out. And then he does cry out, but then, say, but then. He's got a soft heart, and God gives the instruction, and he takes it by faith. He takes it by faith. So God gives instruction. He says, no, you have to split the sea. You have to change that situation you're talking to me about. No, but I'm talking to, yes, and I heard you, and now I'm saying to you, says the Lord, here is the instruction, Moses. You need to split the sea. It says that God tells him, you must divide the sea. And then by faith in obedience, God speaks to Moses. By faith in obedience, he does what he can. God does what he can. We do what we can. But because it's by faith, it's there where the miraculous starts to shift. So what does Moses do? He lifts his one hand and he lifts the piece of wood, the rod, his staff. But but he does it in obedience and with faith. So we read here, God speaks to him. He says, you're supposed to split the sea. And then just a few verses later, we go to verse 21. It says, then God split the sea. So now here's my question. Was there confusion with the translation, with the writing, with the, why does God tell Moses to split the sea? And then just a few verses later, suddenly the writer says, and then God split the sea. Like God fought the battle and they went on dry ground. Now I'm like, who split the sea? It was God through Moses. We sang about it. God giving us dominion. Genesis 1, 26, 27, like God explains, let us make man in our image and then give them dominion. That's a grand way to say authority to rule. And that was in Genesis, we got authority to rule, and then we had the choice, like just today we have a choice, who will we serve? And Adam and Eve said, I'm going to go submit to the enemy. The sin came in, the fall of man, Sonderfall, and then Jesus said, I will pay the price. So that everyone that says yes to me, says yes to the authority of Jesus, of heaven, to come in and through their words, their heart, their prayers, their declaration, into the situation that they just cried to God about. And that's why we praise Jesus, because he hung naked on that cross. We draw him with the lapi, with a piece of material, but he hung naked. He took all your and my shame as well. So now, we have situations, we've got red seas in our life. Maybe it's a puddle, maybe it's a swimming pool, and maybe it's the size of a Red Sea. Either way, we are facing now or later, we face a Red Sea. We are in these battles. And then God comes to show us here that God wants to do something. And it's through you and it's through me doing what we can. Because lifting up a hand is easy. And lifting up a staff is easy. The challenge is, will you believe in your heart by faith that God is who he says he is? Because that is the battle, my buddhis and my sissies, for us to believe the lie that God is not mighty and not for you. Because the battle is not against this or that, it's truth against lies. Because the kingdom of heaven comes everywhere where there's truth, it's the kingdom coming. Jesus says, when you know the truth, literally you'll get freedom. So today, let's quickly look at one or two principles, because this is now cool. We realize now, okay, cool, there are situations, there are battles that we face, and God wants to bring the victory through you, partnering with him. But what does it look like? How do we do that? There's such an awesome, like, just pack this whole chapter. So we're going to go into reverse. So we started from verse 16 and 21. We just compared it, saying like Moses split the sea. No, it says God split the sea, and we realize God did it through his obedience and faith and a prophetic action, and something changed, and many, many, many lives changed because of it. And all Moses had to do was cry out to God. Have a soft heart to hear the instruction, and then the faith to do it. And it doesn't matter how you feel about something when you do something in faith. Sometimes I've got testimonies, I'll share one or two just now, and it sounds amazing, and now I share it like this, and then this happened, so you think, oh, she probably wasn't scared. But guys, sometimes I do things by faith, and my legs are doing this. And that's fine, because the power's not in my opinion on whether my legs do this, does this or not. The power is in God. He's the powerful one. He's looking for a soft heart that will say, I will take this moment and believe. And God says, if you've got enough faith to speak it, to lift up your hand, he's like, that's more than enough. I remember I'm praying for somebody, and I had this fearful thought that came into my mind saying, his foot is not going to get healed, and he's going to be offended with God, and look at what you just did then. And you know what I did? I ignored it and kept on praying for the foot. And afterwards, when I said amen, the man was completely healed. And the best part is he said to me, you know what? As you bent, knelt down to put your hand on my shoe, the pain immediately started to leave. So Satan even took our man Jesus. So Satan even took his little gap, like while God was already healing the person, to intimidate and to distract us. Because guess what? That's all he can do. He's overcome at the cross. Jesus overcame him. So he can distract and intimidate, but we don't have to listen. And that's why it's so important that we fellowship with God and one another, because that's how we get built up in our spirit, is through praising God, through hearing his voice, through his word, through a still small voice here, through a friend, a brother and a sister, coming together, encouraging each other. Good job for your hunger for him. His presence was so powerful and so sweet during the worship. It was so precious. It was so precious for me to see. Look at this people, God, and their heart for you. Look how you love to dwell amongst them. You're this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Cool, let's go to, we're going reverse. We verse 16 and 21. Let's go to verse 13 and 14. It says there, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will see again, never, no more, forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The message translation says, now God will, you know, bring the victory for you, and you will shut your mouth. This translation says, you will hold on to peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a question, Buddhists and sissies of Christ Jesus. What is coming out of your mouth towards that situation, towards that relationship, towards Eskom, towards whatever it is that you see? Your Red Sea, your puddle, your Goliath, your bear and your lion. What is coming out of you and my mouth? We get to choose what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death, that's what's the options. That's in your mouth. And the one that we choose, that's the fruit we will get. So here we're talking about God wanting to, through you and me, split the sea, you know, bring victory in those areas. And now we're saying, but how? Number one, what is coming out of you and my mouth? If we also, so apart from the illustration where he goes, God is going to do it, but you're going to zip it. You're going to be like, stay in the peace, like choose peace. Choose to be quiet and trust in the Lord in that moment. Because God says, life and death is in the tongue. Ezekiel 37, like we see him prophesying through the dead bones. So you, many of you have heard of that scripture where the Lord asked Ezekiel, can these dry dead bones, can they live? And then Ezekiel's very wise. He answers, oh, you know. Such a good answer. You know, Lord, because God knows everything. And God is like, asks him again. And he says, you know, and he asks him, but what do you say? What do you believe? What do you think about the Red Sea in front of you? And then God comes to show Ezekiel. He goes, you need to prophesy to those dry bones. Because God wants to show what we sang about. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, where he says, I've given you dominion. I've given you authority. So if you say in the name of Jesus with faith in your heart in him, things need to shift. And God wants to bring the shift, but he needs to. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, God says that we are his representatives, his ambassadors on the earth. So God wants to do it through us. Guess what we are of the Lord? We are literally his body. So God wants to do it through you. Like no matter which scripture you look at, like God wants to do it through you. But God is just calling you to do what you can. Because it's easy for me to open my mouth to prophesy. It's easy for me, if somebody's knee is broken, to lift my hand, put it on the knee. Like I do that all the time. Look. But the challenge is, will I have a soft heart to go, I'm doing this by faith. And whether your legs are shaking or not, the trust is not in how you feel about yourself. your trust is in how do I feel about God. Like, he's so powerful. I can be shaking while I'm praying, that the power is not in my voice, how it sounds when I pray. The power is I had the faith to act, because there was an act. There was a response. He lifted up his hand and lifted the staff. It wasn't like I'm sitting here. Now I'm just waiting for what? For the Lord. No, you are waiting for you. Jesus already paid with his whole life. Holy Spirit already came. Enemies overcome. But the whole word of God. You and I are just waiting for you and I. I remember once sitting in church and I thought, Lord, look at these empty seats. What about the people that are supposed to be here? And oh, I must pray for them, Lord. And I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, Marie, there's as much people in this church as you want here. You could have invited this whole week anybody you wanted. I paid for them all. I gave the instruction also too. So I was like, oh, Yere, I'm waiting for me. So good news, you are waiting for you. Us is waiting for us. And this is not to condemn you at all, but I need to tell you this. Because people reached out to me. When I joined Shofar Stellenbosch in the year of 2004, my life changed radically. And before then, I was a born-again, spirit-filled believer, but undiscipled, struggling with depression, on medication, 3 times the dosage of that with which I started. And God healed me, because we are called to make disciples and to love people. Hallelujah. So I want to tell you that God has a purpose for your life, and it is to know him and it is to show him to this world, but it is specific to you. There are specific giftings that he gave you, and then specific things that he gave you that are weaknesses. And you don't have to be condemned about them, just so as much as you don't have to be proud of the fact that God made you to run fast. So what? God gave you the gift. Our identity and worth, it's in the blood of Jesus. It's in the blood of Jesus, and our gifting is there to build his house and love his people, whatever it is. You don't have to compare it. You just have to run in it. And the weakness, hallelujah, I'm sure there are more reasons, but one of it definitely is to keep us afhanklik. Engels, thank you. It was a test, your old boss. Dependent on him and on his body. Because I don't know about you, but I, with my weaknesses, easily get distracted and proud. So I'm like, yes, Lord, how difficult would it be without them? Thank you then. So what is coming out of your and my mouth? We get to choose, we get to choose. If we look at verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. In other words, they were looking one way, and then they looked somewhere else. Where did they look? They looked at the Egyptians. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And just after that, they come with a rebellious attitude, a stinking attitude towards Moses. And they're so sarcastic. You're like, really? Is this the best you could do? Because we could have died over here. But what happened right before that? Because, I mean, if we look verse 8, just before it, it says, and they pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So everything is well, and they're like, woo, I believe I'm going, woof. And then they lift their eyes, and they look at the situation. They behold the enemy. They behold the challenge that they are facing in their finances, in their relationship. Maybe disappointment is something that you struggle with. Either way, they look at that, and scripture says, then they became very afraid. And then from that place of fear, they started being rude, sarcastic, rebellious, not trusting. But praise God for his grace, grace upon grace, because he saved them anyway, because he loves them, because he chose them. So hallelujah, there's grace for you and me, not to stay rebellious, but to turn to Jesus and say, yes, Lord, I'm so fearful right now. I even just repent. I just bring it into the light. Because when we bring our struggles, our disappointment, our brokenness, our fear, our despondency, because Jesus paid a price, and you and I, we will pay a price, but what a privilege, because it will never be nothing compared to what he did. He paid for us. I mean, Jesus says, you will have trials and tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome it. So our taking heart is not whether it's going easier or harder. We take heart just because of Jesus. And he's got grace for us in that moment when we are weak, when we are struggling. But his grace for us in that moment is to turn to him and not to harden our hearts in rebellion. So my first question was, you know, to God wants to split the sea through you and me. God wants to split that, you know, do something in that situation that you are praying for, that you are trusting for. I saw you. I didn't think you praise and worshiping. I saw you. Thank you, my sister. And now we're just saying how. So number one, what's coming out of your mouth? Number two, where are you looking at? What are you beholding? Where are you choosing to fix your gaze upon? We see in Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, run this race with endurance. And then verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him, that's you, endured that cross, endured the challenge. So guys, what's coming out of you in my mouth? Why are we beholding? What are we looking at? And lastly, I just quickly want to show to you what it says in verse 4. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh. And the other translation says, and that situation will bring God the glory. So I want to say to you this. Sometimes if we look at this scripture, there's a difficult situation we are in, and God has allowed it, or God has orchestrated it for his glory. And then sometimes there's a difficult situation and God had nothing to do with us, with it. It was our own foolishness that got us there. But guess what? God says in Romans 8:28, that he wants us to understand his heart towards us. I will make all things work together for good for those of you who love me or called according to my purpose. So I want to say to you, no matter the reason for the situation, you can know that God wants to bring victory. And when our heart is soft and surrendered, we will say, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God will save me. He could throw us into the fire. Our God will save us. He will. We believe it. But if he doesn't, he's worthy of our lives. To have that soft and surrendered heart that goes, I go with full faith, but Lord, your will, not mine, be done. Just like Jesus prayed when he said, God, please, can we split the sea another way? Like, please, can this cup pass me by? And he was praying with such urgency that physical blood started coming out with the urgency. And then he said, but your will be done, not mine. And then he paid that price for the victory and the grace and the power of God to be displayed in and through your life so that he would get the glory. So we need to spend time with God and his body, like with the Holy Spirit, with the word, because what happens, verse 4, is we get godly perception. So what we're going to do now is we're going to end off and we're going to prophesy to our dry bones, to our Red Seas, to our puddles, to our Goliaths, to our bears. Because look at David. When that lion and that bear came for his sheep, he could decide, was he going to be like sit up aswip, like go in trauma to go, this is so hectic, where is the Lord? Where are the angels that are supposed to help me? God, these sheep. Or he could say, God, I'm called for a time such as this. I'm your representative. I'm your ambassador, it says in your word. So how do you, through me, want to fight this battle so that the sheep are protected, so the children in our schools are protected from lies that Satan wants to bring into the teaching to confuse them whether God made them male or female? Then we rise up, we go, God, you want to do it, but you want to do it through us. Pick me. Because God uses the people that says, I'm willing. God did the sock with your opinion or your title. Do a lot of people like you? Do a lot of people dislike you? I mean, look at David. When he went for Goliath, what did his closest people say? like, you're such a brat. Who you are? What are you here now for? Your glory. You want to preach because it's all about you. Just go away. Then you just go, I'll just go for Jesus. The whole time there's a battle for you and me not to walk in the things of God, but the enemy is overcome. But what will your response be to the invitation to partner with victory? The victory of the cross. How do we partner? We choose. We choose to see, to look at it the way God looks at it. How do you do that? You go to him to go, Lord, I don't know. How do you see this? I'm just overwhelmed and nervous now. But how did you see it, Lord? What is the instruction? I don't want to be arrogant and handle the situation the same a while back, because then I didn't hear from you, Holy Spirit, because maybe a previous time God told you to fast. Maybe this time he calls you to go to that school and do a prayer march. Either way, we want soft hearts to just receive the instruction from the Holy Spirit, because he knows the situation. This morning, 4 o'clock, I get a message. Please pray. My daughter's in hospital. You must pray for the pain, this and this. And I go, Holy Spirit, what must I pray for? Because you know what's causing the pain. So ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is so ready to give you the instruction from heaven. And then by faith, we choose to choose. Have a godly perception. What is coming out of my mouth? What is coming? Which direction am I turning my eyes? Because if I keep on focusing on the disappointment, on the hurt, on the fear, I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying, what is on the throne of your and my heart? Is it the situation? Is it my dream? Is it ministry? Or is it Jesus? Because Satan doesn't mind if ministry or subkumbase is on the throne of your heart. Anything, as long as it's not Jesus. But God says, I've come to give you the victory, to give you life and life in abundance. And if you partner with me, you partner with victory. Because that's who God is. And I quickly want to end off with this testimony. So my father was in hospital with a too slow a heartbeat and an irregular heartbeat a while back. And we start praying, and the doctor shows to me on the scan at the ICU. He's like, Marie, it's supposed to go like the up and down. You know, is it up, down, up, down? No? Okay, thank you, doctor. Up, down. Up, down, okay. And he shows to me clearly, you can't miss it. You look, your dad's one is just going down, back, down, back. So that needs to go like that, and it needs to pick up speed, the heartbeat, otherwise he'll have to get a pacemaker, which is fine, but he's had a few other situations, and it's not for or against a pacemaker. I just wanted to hear from God, what is his will for the situation? So the doctor says, let's take him off of two meds that could cause the heartbeat to be so slow. He takes it off and immediately it starts picking up. And we're also obviously praying for the heart. Thank you, Jesus. But I also start praying for the heart, and I speak to it. I say, in the name of Jesus, the rhythm, you must get right. You must start beating correctly so that there's an up and a down in Jesus' name. And I pray it every day and it's not shifting. And I pray it the second day, it's not shifting. Pray it the third day, and they feel, no, they want to observe some more before the pacemaker comes. They're observing it, and what happens is I drop my mom off, Lenti Bay Panorama, and I come to an evening service of a church where I'm at, just here around the corner, Kingdom GPS, and we're just a group, and they're just sharing the scripture, and he says, tonight we're going to prophesy to dry bones, but we were 100 people in unity and authority in the name of Jesus. He says, now out loud, you're going to speak, because I don't know about you, but the things that God calls me for, I don't want to whisper life over those things. I want to declare it by faith in the name of Jesus. And if we can cheer for VPA, if we can cheer for our children that does something wild on the sports field, then we can shout for the name of Jesus to bring heaven down in us and through us, because the world is waiting for your testimony, because your testimony will say to them that God can do it to them too. And we stand there and I say, in the name of Jesus, heart you gaan regloop. In the name of Jesus, you gaan regloop. You're going to start beating correctly in Jesus' name. And we prophesy for a while. And I run out because I need to go, because the mom is there for a while, because the carer is not there. So I have to focus on the stuff. And I get in my car and I get there. And I'm like, hi, guys. Hello, Papa. Hello, Mama. Hello. And I'm like, look. Look. And it's back. And it's back. For 4 days, it was not there. The next day, I share the testimony with the ICU sister that was not there. And I look at her being stirred and I say, do you need prayer? She goes, yes, right there. She closes her eyes. Because I want to be the whole Sutter, let's be respectful, let's go around the corner. But people are hungry and they are desperate for you to share a testimony so that you can pray for them so God can do it again in the name of Jesus. So let's stand. And I want you to imagine in your mind's eye, what is that thing you are trusting God for? Nothing that is important to you, listen to me, is not important to God. Don't believe the lie that says, but there are worse situations, this is probably not that bad. Something that somebody once shared, I think it was Chuck Perry, heads the healing rooms in Bethel, California. He said, there's this coin, and the one part is you always have to be thankful, because if you do not walk in thankfulness, bitterness will get hold of you. He said, but the coin has another side to it. And that's a hunger and a hope and an expectation. Because if you do not walk with that, you'll always be okay with the kingdom of heaven not coming. So today, I want to challenge you and myself as much as I'm asking you. Let us, with a thankfulness for who he is, and a heart that is surrendered, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, saying, like, even if you don't do it, I'll just praise you all the same. But your word says that your kingdom's supposed to come, the dominion's supposed to happen through me, so I'm going to do it. With the hope and expectation, whether God does it now or later, in whichever way he does, to pray with that hope and that expectation. I'm telling you today that God wants to shift our hearts from that place of living in this place, trying to get everything done in time and believing in Jesus, to living for, through, in, by Jesus, and I get to live it out in the workplace, in my family, in my car, in my time alone, in my time between everybody, while I'm in the queue at Checkers. God wants to bring down heaven. That's why he taught us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth, in your family, in the school, in the workplace, in your heart, in the bully at work's heart and life, as it is in heaven. God wants to bring it down through your prayers, through your declaration, through you praising by faith, through you fasting by faith. It's not if you fast, the Bible says when we fast. Hallelujah. When people say to me they're serious about a situation, will I pray with them? I'm like, of course, let's pray. And you fasted and worshiped and prayed and praised over the situation. Oh no, most of that not at all. I'm like, don't you want victory, or what do you mean? Because we're in a battle and God gives you a massive bazooka and you're like, it's fine, I'll just take a pint with you. I'm like, okay, I'll pray with you, but only if you want victory, because we get to choose. We get to choose. So let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for victory. You did it. You did it. Don't you want to just start praising him? Praise you, Jesus. You did it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him, because the cross is empty and so is the tomb, for victory, for heaven to come down into our hearts, for our hearts to receive the love of the Father that heals us and then through us brings healing to a nation, healing to a nation, healing to my neighbors, to the streets that I'm in. Thank you, Jesus, that you taught us that you want to release these things through our speech, through our words, by faith in you. So Lord, thank you, God, that you want to bring heaven down into the situation that we have in front of us right now. So my brother, my sister, grab hold of that situation that you're going to prophesy to. See it in front of you. And at the count of three, we are all going to not whisper in fear, but in faith start declaring God's truth and life and hope. If you're unsure what to do, just speak whatever the perfect situation. I don't know what the heartbeat situation's name or anything was. I just said, heart, you have to start beating correctly so that on the screen there is a opbobble, an enam van Jesus. There's a bow to the thing to the top also in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, are you ready? But you can do it with an expectation from thankfulness, because the victory has been overcome by Jesus. You start declaring it from victory to see it fulfilled in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Here. Hallelujah. Go for it, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, guys, go for it in the name of Jesus. Start declaring it, declaring it, declaring it in the name of Jesus. You've got authority in the name of Jesus. And we speak hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just quickly want to pray, you can keep your eyes closed. If you are here today and you're struggling with disappointment in the areas where you've trusted and you prayed, but your heart is sore, don't you just want to just raise your hand just as a sign to the Lord to go, that's me. If you are struggling with your heart is just maybe sore, like God sees and He cares, but Jesus said to the sick man, like, oh, what can I do for you? What do you want from me? Because Jesus wanted him to say, but I need you to heal me, because it's a two-way relationship. So thank you, Jesus. You see every heart. You see every disappointment. And I thank you that today, Lord, heartache and disappointment, that we can come and lay it on the altar, just as Abram laid down Isaac on that altar, saying, God, you're above the fear. God, if you've got a fear that you want to lay down on that altar, just raise your hand to God. Say, yes, I fear. I'm bringing it. Yes, that fear. Lay that fear on that altar. If it's disappointment, you say, God, I'm choosing you above the disappointment. I'm laying it on the altar. If there's anger in your heart, if there's heart sore, God cares. God really cares. And I want you to, sometimes we start holding on to it by accident because we don't know what else to do, but that is not our identity. Lay it on the altar, saying, Lord, I put this heartache on the altar. I put this fear on the altar. I put this disappointment on the altar. And now I want you just put your hand on your heart now we're just going to pray. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for hope, for peace, for newness of life, for hope, for peace, for newness of life. Thank you that you are touching hearts in this moment, speaking your tender mercy, your tender healing. And I speak peace to every heart in the name of Jesus. Shalom, shalom, shalom is entering your heart, the wholeness and the peace of God. I speak over that situation in Jesus' name. I speak new life and new hope by faith in the name of Jesus. I release over you new life, new life, new life, new hope, new hope. Jesus has hope for you. Just say yes to His hope. Jesus has compassion towards you. Just say yes to the Father's compassion towards you. Right there where you are, say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You comfort me. Say to Him, I give you my heart. I give you this area of whatever it is. Say the disappointment, the hurt, the fear. Say to Him, I give it to you, God. And I receive your beauty in the place of ashes. In the place of fear, I get hope. I get life. I thank you, God. Your angels are here just ministering. Your spirit is here ministering to us. And we just by faith say, thank you. We receive new life, new life, new life in the name of Jesus. Declare with me, say, new life, new life, new life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You're so kind and you're so faithful. And I speak peace and the resurrection power of Jesus over every despondent dream here. In Jesus' name, I say, new life, new hope, new life in the name of Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In and through the ideas, the dreams, and the hearts of your people as it is in heaven. By your grace, not by power, not by
might by your Spirit that because of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need, do we sing one more worship song? If you need prayer for anything, please come to the front. We want to pray for one another. Facilitators, you can so much just come to the front by faith. Just come. If you need prayer for anything, this is how God designed it, that we pray for one another. Hallelujah. So now I've got a facilitator running to this darling lady, wants to pray with her. Come to the front. Anybody that wants to pray, anybody that needs prayer. Julle kan sommer kom. Ons kom staan sommer by die mense. Kom jy ons? Ja, staan by haar.
Oh Lord, our Lord, oh how awesome is your way, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our God, may we see your kingdom come. Father, may your will be done in our lives.